Good morning. So this study, Reasons Why Women Do Not Breastfeed, a Southeastern State study, it was done as a requirement for two of my courses, and my advisors are here, Dr. Probst and Dr. Ladika. Thank you for coming. I have no relationships to disclose.
Actually, I'm also.
Okay.
The first name here.
All right. The benefits for breastfeeding. The benefits of breastfeeding have been described mainly for child health. Research has proved that breastfeeding is beneficial for child health, especially regarding infectious diseases. Those who breastfeed, the children have, a better life, and they have less incidence of infectious disease like respiratory tract infection, otitis media, GI tract infection. There are also benefits described for maternal health, like earlier return to pre-pregnancy weight and decreased risk of breast and ovarian cancer. Also, economic and environmental benefits have been described. The breastfeeding statistic, based on the National Immunization Survey for 2005, the rates of initiation were about 73%. At 6 months, about 39% of children were breastfed, and at 12 months, about 20%. Even though generally there has been an increase in breastfeeding prevalence, we still have racial and ethnic disparities. For the Hispanics, about 80% of Hispanic children were breastfed, compared to about 55% for non-Hispanic African Americans. We also have low rates of breastfeeding in some states, the southeastern states like Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, and West Virginia. A lot has been done to document the benefits of breastfeeding, the individual predictors of breastfeeding, the healthcare system factors that, you know, help mothers breastfeed. And also, barriers to breastfeeding have been looked at, but most of the studies have been qualitative. But much less has been done to elicit women's actual reasons for not breastfeeding and whether there are race ethnicity differences in these reasons. So for this study, we looked at what reasons women give for not initiating breastfeeding and whether these reasons differ by race ethnicity or other demographic variables. The study was based on the Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring System data for Arkansas State, and we used 4 years of data. We chose Arkansas State because they had a very low breastfeeding rate for 2005. It was the second lowest after Mississippi, about 54% initiation. And we also chose the Arkansas PRAMS data because they had a complete set of breastfeeding questions for that period. All respondents were about 8,000, that's mothers with recent births. We limited the analysis to mothers with live singletons, about 7,000. And then we looked at those who didn't breastfeed, about 3,000. And we know the PRAMS data is based on CDC and states, and usually the stratified sampling every month, about 100 to 250 birth certificates are taken every month. And these things are mailed to mothers. You have repeated mailings, and those who don't respond are telephoned. The variable selection was based on the Anderson model for breastfeeding behavior. Looking at the environment, we concentrated on the variables that link the 10 steps to successful breastfeeding, like rooming in and gift of formula or teaching the mother how to breastfeed. We also looked at the population characteristics, predisposing factors. Race was our main independent variable. We also looked at enabling factors like education, income, and breastfeeding intent. And the aim was to predict the reasons for not breastfeeding. The mother was asked, what were your reasons for not breastfeeding your baby? And they could choose up to 9 options, and they could choose all the options if they wanted to. But for this analysis, we categorized the outcome. The first two were categorized as household responsibilities. I had other children to take care of. I had too many household duties. Then the next four, we categorized them as individual reasons. And the other two, I went back to work or school or an unsupportive partner. We classified as circumstances. And this classification was based on previous work by Aluwale and colleagues, which was published in Pediatrics 2005. And then the last option, other, the women's could write written responses for not breastfeeding. This we analyzed separately. So for the data analysis, we had the descriptive statistics. We did a qualitative analysis of the written responses, about 900 responses. We also looked at bivariable analysis between the independent variables and the outcomes, the reasons for not breastfeeding. We had 3 models for the multiple logistic regression. And we did this analysis using Sudan for the complex survey methodology. Overall, about 38% of mothers did not breastfeed, Arkansas mothers, And compared to breastfeeding mothers, non-breastfeeding mothers, you are more likely to be black, not married, and earning less than 18,000 per annum. The reasons for not breastfeeding, like I said, there were 9 options. The most frequently cited reason was I did not like breastfeeding, about half of the population. And then the least cited reason was my husband or partner did not want me to breastfeed. For those who had written responses, about 28% of the population, we analyzed the responses. There were about 838 responses, and we coded them. Initially, we had 22 codes, but we collapsed 13 of the codes into the other category. You can see the most frequent reason for the written responses was lactational difficulties. You know, maybe they felt that the milk wouldn't come in on time, or they were afraid that they won't have enough milk for the child and things like that, or they didn't know how to breastfeed. And then the least cited written response was premature child, or the child was in the NICU far away from them. For the bivariable analysis, looking at the 3 categories we had, about 2/3 of the women chose individual reasons. And like I said, we collapsed 4 options into individual reasons. I didn't like to breastfeed. I wanted my body back to myself. I felt embarrassed. About 2/3 chose individual reasons. About 1/3 chose household responsibility, and 1/3 chose circumstances. And for the breakdown by race, we see that there's some variability, with blacks choosing, you know, a higher proportion of blacks choosing individual reasons as compared to whites and Hispanics. And for the household responsibility, a higher proportion for the other race category. For circumstances, Hispanics, a higher proportion chose circumstances, even though that wasn't significant. For the multivariable analysis, looking at the individual reasons, blacks had about 1.3 times odds of choosing individual reasons. Also, those who indicated that staff didn't teach them how to breastfeed, they had about 2.3 times greater odds of citing individual reasons. For the household responsibilities, the blacks had a 0.66 times lesser odds of choosing household responsibilities, and those who didn't have a previous live birth, they had a much lesser odds of. Of course, they didn't have any other child to take care of citing household responsibilities. Also, those who indicated that staff did not teach them how to breastfeed, they had a 2.3 times greater odds of citing household responsibilities. For circumstances, that's returning to work or school or having an unsupportive partner, the Hispanics and the teenagers had a 3 times greater odds of citing circumstances. And looking at breastfeeding intent, those who knew that they would breastfeed but ended up not breastfeeding had a 0.3 times lesser odds of citing circumstances. So for this study, the key findings, our first question was, why don't they breastfeed? The most frequently cited reason was, I don't like to breastfeed. And then for the categories, the most frequently cited category was individual reasons. And we saw some differences, you know, for the reasons for not breastfeeding. For example, the Hispanics and teenagers had a 3 times greater odds of citing circumstances. Those who indicated that the staff didn't teach them how to breastfeed, they had a 2 times greater odds of citing individual reasons and household responsibilities. Also, women in lower income groups had a lesser odds of citing individual reasons. And this study was based on just the Arkansas PRAMS data. So the findings are only generalizable to Arkansas states. And because PRAMS is cross-sectional, it limits causal inference. And for this question, women had the option of choosing multiple reasons. So the categories were not mutually exclusive. So it was difficult for us to say the primary reason why the woman didn't breastfeed. The study has implications for hospital policies. The recent study by CDC on maternity practices showed that Arkansas State had the lowest score, 48 out of 100, for hospital policy. So it's not surprising that they have such a low rate of breastfeeding. So it's important to, you know, pursue the baby-friendly hospital initiative here in America in hospitals and maternity centers. Also, legislation, women returning to work or going to school, that was the second largest reason for not breastfeeding. So it's important that employers support breastfeeding at the workplace, provide facilities, provide places to pump and store breast milk. And the public's attitude needs to be addressed, because if women feel embarrassed to breastfeed, that means there's something wrong with the public's attitude. Also, for targeting intervention. Since different women have different reasons for not breastfeeding, it's important to target the interventions to whatever they suggest are their reasons for not breastfeeding. And preconception care will be important because some women said because they were smoking, they couldn't breastfeed. So if they come in before they get pregnant, maybe they could be helped to stop smoking. That way, they'll be able to breastfeed their child. And for those who said they had an unsupportive partner, educating the partner during the prenatal period could help them support the mother. This study could also be replicated nationwide. I want to thank the staff at the Arkansas Department of Health, Dr. Mary Maggie here and the other staff. Also the folks at CDC that helped me with the codes for the Sudan analysis, and Dr. Corwin that helped me with the qualitative coding. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much to all our presenters. If the audience has some question for any one of the presenters, we have a few more minutes to respond and to deal with that. Yes, please. Thank you. Would you, the presenter, come here so you can respond from here and respond from the loudspeaker, please?
Okay, sorry. What was your question?
You come here, please. I think that's probably better.
For the individuals in your study that had some, did you look at WIC participation in any of those groups?
We did look at WIC participation. We found that 69% of the women did participate in WIC, but it was not found to be something significantly different between the two groups.
Yes, please. So this is a question to each one of you. So if you want to come here, I think maybe it's better today. Okay, you start.
Thank you for the question. What is the next? I think one of the next things that I plan to do was to do detailed analysis of some factors that has a policy implications. For example, I'm already analyzing the data, the same data using looking at income inequality distribution across the state of South Carolina, and income inequality somehow has much policy implications. Sometimes it is thought that it's better to reduce poverty, but instead of income distribution has its own, there has been a number of research that is examining how unequal distribution of income across places. And so one of the things that I plan to do, I'm planning to examine that. And then one other thing is also my data set has got a stress variable. So stress and social support. So what is the next step? What is the next step is also to examine effect of relationship between stress and where women live, the neighborhoods, and then social support and social network. All these have been found to have relationship at the individual level with a number of health outcomes, including low birth weight and preterm birth. So I plan to examine that. Ultimately, what I want to do is to for health policymakers and other program managers to begin to look at factors that have been overlooked over the years in areas of public health. For example, context has not been factored in much of intervention programs. Research has been done, but not much policy. People think that policymakers believe that when we address individual factors, that is enough. But I think my research is, and the number of researchers are pointing to the fact that it's better to look at context as well as probably individual level factors.
Thank you very much. Who wants to be the second one? So, what will be the next?
Okay, like based on this study, I realized that workplace is really a barrier to breastfeeding. So for my dissertation, I'm looking at employment characteristics and benefits and their impact on breastfeeding, initiation, duration, and predominance. I'm going to be focusing on maternity leave because in the U.S. we don't have a national paid maternity leave legislation. It's just 12 weeks on paid leave. So I'm going to be using the early child longitudinal study birth cohort, which has maternity leave data, breastfeeding data for my analysis. So that's the next step.
Thank you.
I think for my research, the next thing that I'd like to look at is time use data, and that has been explored in the relationship between maternal employment and child BMI, and looking at, you know, when people are employed, what is it exactly that's changing in the household situation that might lead to greater BMI, such as more time watching TV or the different child care programs that they're going to, different types of food, more likely to buy fast foods, things like that. And so I'd like to see if some of those factors are also at play in the unemployment.
Thank you.
First thing, I would like to increase the sample size for which I would like to have the data from the other hospitals, and so that we can have the effect of the race ethnicity. Secondly, if we do the prospective study, that will be much better because we can have the other factors like socioeconomic status and other, whether how many women had the insurance, why the weight is not controlled. So prospective study will be better to judge all these things. Thank you.
Well, in terms of my study, I think that if I were to do something different, probably find some way to randomly select women, because we did do a convenient sampling, and hopefully also increase the sample size because our study was limited to 100 women. But in terms of just the findings, I feel like maybe looking into some of the intervention programs at the university-based clinic that we have here and evaluating them to see if they do address some of the factors that we found to be associated with food insecurity at this clinic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a quick question for Dr. Saptosh. Are you planning to repeat this study in India, in your own environment and medical college?
Yes, I'm trying to do that because the obesity is not a problem.
Wait until you come here, right?
Yes, I'm planning to do that study in India because there the obesity is not a problem with their poverty. Usually the poor women are thin and they're emaciated. So I want to see what is the effect over there, what are the reasons of preeclampsia is very common over there. So there are some different reasons. I want to compare that, definitely.
Thank you. Any other question? Yes, please.
As a segue on to her comment, but a comment to the presentation regarding unemployment and changes in childhood BMI, I think that an interesting message to take from that might be to hone in on the fact that the stress relationship or the stress associated with the unemployment factor relating to BMI increasing is an excellent parallel to us continually finding obesity related to diseases such as cardiovascular disease and even hypertension and hyperlipidemia. But these are all associations. And I think that this study is an excellent showing that association may not be that obesity causes these problems, but rather that obesity is associated with such stresses in one's life that those stresses are also causing those problems. So I think it highlights the need to really control for the confounders of stress and poverty that we don't often see in our studies of obesity and their subsequent health outcomes.
Yes, this issue always so much more complex. It's never one variable or one association, one cause. It's an interweaving, mainly when social factors come in, social psychological stress and others. Any other question? Yes, Dr. Koch. And I just want to add my congratulations to the researcher and presenter of today. That's wonderful, and I wish them all the best in your future career and work for maternal and child health population. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yes, please, do come. Thank you. There is a luncheon tomorrow, not a noon time.
Yes,
Matern,
I can.
Oh, you know.
What is the place?
Let's look in the book.
Okay. I have the ticket.
Will you please remember to come?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I am so proud that doctoral student, medical student, do participate in this research and come into public health and do, because sometimes medical students are so taken by their studies that is so much clinical and so heavy that they don't have time to present. Yeah? Isn't that fantastic that the medical students do come and do public health research? Jonathan, okay.
Yeah,
I think I'm sure we will, right? And I will be there anyway.
Thank you.
Okay.